صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى الله عليه وسلم May Allah increase the honor and grace the rank of our master الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
السلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
سبحان الله My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, welcome back to our beautiful silsila Khuluqin Azim. And as you know that in this silsila, we're discussing about the beautiful attributes, the beautiful seerah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Many people have written the biography of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And every one of them have mentioned at the end of the biography that they have not done justice to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's biography. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, today we're going to talk about another beautiful aspect of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's seerah, and this is so important. So inshallah azawajal, as usual, alhamdulillah azawajal, Ammar bhai has joined us today, mashallah azawajal. Ammar bhai, truthful and the opposite of truth is lying. So we want to discuss that, especially some of the waqiyas, the stories from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But what we need to do is we need to fit them in our lives, how as a Muslim I can change.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Firstly, if we look at the blessed life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before even announcing his prophethood, you know, he was widely known as As-Sadiq and Al-Amin, the truthful and the trustworthy. So that itself is enough to give us a slight glimpse into the life of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how truthful he was as an individual and how widely known this fact was, that he always speaks the truth. And you know, there are many cases where we see where the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the other people are testifying in terms of his truthfulness, you know, be it the time when for example he gathered all the people including the disbelievers and said, you know, if I was to tell you an army is about to attack from here, would you believe me, and so on and so forth. And that's when even they said that you've always spoken the truth. And then he invited them towards Islam, that now that you've admitted I always speak the truth, so I'm inviting you towards a true religion. And obviously those that were fortunate, they accepted. Those that who did not have it in their taqdeer, in their destiny, in their fate to accept Islam, then they still rejected despite seeing so much.
One beautiful thing you mentioned, mashallah, is that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, when he gathered the people of Makkah, he said to them, you know, what do you say about me? Now that just tells us that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived a life amongst the people, and he lived such a life that he made, as they kehte hain, ke sikka bitha diya. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so truthful in his life that these people could not reject that. So that teaches us a lesson that if we want to propagate the deen of Allah, to propagate the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it's very, very important to be truthful.
And yeah, this indeed, and there's a lot of wisdom behind that as well. You know, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam announcing his prophethood at the age of 40.
Subhanallah.
So before that, for 40 years, he has lived amongst that community.
MashaAllah.
So he has this reputation.
Subhanallah.
You know, this carries a lot of weight behind his message.
And it wasn't easy living amongst them people, because, you know, the way you over little things they used to fight and quarrels and everything. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained in that community and built a status for himself.
Allahu Akbar. And in terms of truthfulness, you know, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his teachings, when we look at that, as I've said in the previous episodes, it's not only teaching and it's not only action, but we see it practically happening in the life of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we find it where he verbally delivered it to the Sahaba, which then later reached us in the form of the ahadith. Like, for example, in Sayyidina Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, we find a narration that inna sidqa yahdi ilal birr, that sidq, truthfulness, leads to goodness.
Subhanallah.
Wa innal birra yahdi ila al-jannah.
Subhanallah.
And goodness leads to paradise.
Subhanallah.
Wa innar rajul la yasduq hatta yuktaba 'inda Allahi siddiqa. And a man, he continues to tell the truth until he is written as a siddiq in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Siddiq meaning somebody who speaks the truth a lot.
So when we talk about Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, why was he given, or when was he given that title of Siddiq?
Our blessed companions alayhim radwan, each one of them, you know, their love for the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he had outstanding love for our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the extent that even, in particularly the scholars of Seerah, they say that even before actually accepting Islam, in the time of Jahiliyyah, in the time of ignorance, he was known as a very truthful person. You know, that was his character of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. But in particular, when we look at the seerah of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when the event of Mi'raj occurred,
subhanallah,
and our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went for the journey of Mi'raj and so on and so forth, the disbelievers of Mecca, they went at that time to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, saying, you know, your companion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he claims that in one night, small portion of a night, not just the whole, not the whole night, but rather a small portion of the night, he's been from here to Masjid Aqsa and so on and so forth, and he's been on this long journey, you know, beyond the skies and so on and so forth. And this, would you still believe him? And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he said, if Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said this, then I definitely believe him.
Subhanallah.
So then he was granted this title Siddiq. So as Siddiq means somebody who speaks the truth a lot. The next portion of the hadith though, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, wa innal kadhiba yahdi ila al-fujur. Then lying leads to fujur, fisq fujur, sin. And then what happens? Wa innal fujura yahdi ila an-nar.
Astaghfirullah.
And sinning, fujur, leads to the fire of hell.
Allahu Akbar.
And then, وَإِنَّ الرَّجُلُ لَيَكْذِبْ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا. A person continues to lie until he is written as a kadhab in the court of Allah. Kadhab, somebody who lies a lot, a big liar. Both of these, siddiq, somebody who extensively tells the truth, and kadhab, somebody who lies a lot. Both of these words, they contain the meaning of doing something a lot. And in terms of, you know, if we look at it, for example, in this world, be it in the police record, be in the list of any authorities, where we were to be on a hit list in one sense, were to be on that, you know, list of people to watch out for. They're keeping a close eye on us.
Mm-hmm.
If we think, if our name was on a list like that, you know, where we were under, we were being scrutinized by the authorities, where every movement of ours was being watched, how would we feel? And you know, we'd probably lose sleep over that as well.
Even.
But we lie so easily on a daily basis, and we never think, you know, I could be written as a kadhab in the court of Allah, as a person who extensively lies.
You know, the sad thing is people lie so bravely that, you know, when it comes to business, especially I've seen this in business, where people will lie so extensively, and you know, this is a muhavara. People say, oh, if you don't lie, you're not going to sell your goods. Or if you don't lie, nothing's going to happen. You're not going to gain anything. Now, the thing is, you might lie. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in it, the mafhum was that if you lie, you'll sell your product, but you will lose the barakat of that earning. You know, sometimes you go to a shop, yeah, and you want to buy something, and they say, oh, Qasam, our buying is so much.
My cost,
you know, this is what my cost is. Honestly, I don't make. And then they start swearing, you know, an oath in the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla, Qasam, this and that. I went into a shop once and we're going to buy some shoes. And the guy goes, oh, you know, because you're here, yeah, you're my first customer today. It's on for 2,000 rupees. I'm going to sell it to you for 1,800. I go, well, why? He goes, really, my khareed is less than that. But I'm still going to give you. I goes, look, I don't even know you. I'm not your relative. Why would you want to sell me something that is less than what you are buying it for? Why are you sat here for? You know, so I just walked out of the shop. I goes, look, I'm sorry. I would have bought it from you if you did say 2,000. I needed it. I would have paid you 2,000. But why? Because you started to lie. I just don't want to buy it from you anymore. And bad, you know, oh, Qasam, no, please, I'm sorry. Really, you know, I won't do it again and all that. It's too late. Like you said, the barakat will fall away. Customer walk out because of your lying, your habit.
I think we've all been, you know, a lot of us, if we go out and buy something and we're in that state, where in that situation, in that sort of an environment where a lot of haggling is to take place, yes. Then I think we've all been in that sort of a scenario. We were buying something once. I can't remember if some socks or something like that. But, you know, the seller was saying, no, it costs me, because they're a special type of socks, it costs me around about 25 rupees per pair. So I can't sell it below 25 to you. And I think he was asking for 30, and I was asking if you could lower the price. And he said, well, I can't sell it for below 25. And then afterwards, he was willing to come down to 20. So I said, you know, you said your cost is 25. I was thinking in my mind, you know, if the cost is 25 and now he's willing to sell it for 20, and I'm wanting to buy a few pairs, that means he's losing out 5 rupees per pair. Obviously, that cannot be the case generally, you know, unless the person is a really nice person, which, yeah. You know, which is kind of rare to find in itself. So this is just one example. You know, obviously lying is not limited to trade or selling, but this is just one example for those that are traders out there, those that are businessmen. You know, we've got to watch, sometimes, you know, some things we say, we just say without thinking.
You know, but sometimes people think, yeah, I made a fool out of him. Yeah, I made a fool out of him. But you don't realize that the shaitan's made a fool out of you. Because you committed the sin, not that person. You know, and we see a lot of people, they'll do something and they defraud a Muslim and then they say, oh, I made a fool out of him. Pagal Munadi, I made him, you know. But the thing is, you know, you don't understand that the shaitan's made a fool out of you. And since you've defrauded a Muslim, that's another sin that you've committed.
And you know, for example, something like this as well, you know, not lying in terms of other things, but even, you know, some sentence like this, for example, a person comes and your initial starting price was 2,000, that was your asking, and then later you came down to 1,800. Now, if you do that for everybody, you know, this is your routine, and then you still say to the person, oh, I'm only doing this just for you, you know, I'll never offer it to anyone else at this price, I don't usually do it just for you, even though you, as a routine, offer it to everybody else, so you don't think about it, but you've just lied. And there are so many examples like this. This is why it is important, be it any sort of a business or anything that we want to start in our life, to learn the Islamic rulings for that, especially trade. You know, lying can happen in so many ways.
You know, and then sometimes parents, they say, well, you do this and I'm going to reward you with that. And the child, he does that action and the parents don't reward him. Now, what's going to happen is that the child in his mind will be thinking, mom's always telling me to do that. I do it, but she always says, I'm going to reward you. She doesn't give me anything, so my mom's always lying. Now, what's happening is, you've broken the heart of that child, and the other, you're indirectly teaching them that lying is fine because I do it myself.
And you know, one thing we have to realize, especially about children, is they are very observant. Whether you would have noticed, you know, especially if you, for example, parents that have children at home, or generally, if you have like relatives, nieces and nephews, you notice that they are very, very observant. They might not say it, but they're taking it all in. You know, for example, then let's say the child goes to madrasa and he's taught something. Look, you shouldn't do this. And he'll either pop to his mind definitely, and he might even say it, but my dad does that. And because he's constantly observing and taking it in, and we're not, you know, sometimes we kind of put that fact aside. Today we're teaching them this. Today we're lying in front of them, or we're deceiving them. Tomorrow, when they grow up, and we ask them, you came home late, where have you been? And then they try to tell us a fib, as we say. Then we get irritated, but we don't realize we've been telling them all, you know.
Our life we've been telling them lies.
That trust relationship. You know, yesterday we were speaking about the father. I think it was yesterday, the father being the best friend, so that the child is able to open up with him. But that trust and that relationship is not going to be maintained, and that's not going to remain if there is lying like this involved. Because, you know, no matter what you say, eventually, if you deceive the child so much, no matter what you say, eventually the child, it's going to be a routine. You know,
we were mentioning about jinnat today as well. And sometimes people say that, oh, our house is possessed. You know, a similar incident happened with Mufti Azam Hind Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, where one of his murid, he came and he says that, Ya Sayyidi, I think my house is possessed because I can hear things, I can hear footsteps. So Mufti Sahib Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, you know, he asks him a very simple question, and he goes, do you know how to do ghusl? Now, again, what I wanted to mention was that person did not know how to do ghusl. And because he didn't clean himself properly, Allah Ta'ala made his house dirty with the jinnat. Mm. When he started to clean himself, Allah Ta'ala cleansed his house. Now when we start to clean our heart from lying, from all these kind of things, inshallah Allah Ta'ala will keep us away. And there's a very, you know, hard statement in the Quran where Allah Ta'ala says, لَعْنَةَ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ, curse of Allah be upon the liars. And the ulama, they talk about the word curse. Curse means la'nat. You know, you see people cursing each other, la'nat on him, la'nat on him. But curse means that you be away from the mercy of Allah. Now, can you imagine someone being away from the mercy of Allah and he gains happiness? You're not going to gain happiness. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala is cursing you all the time.
On the other hand, we see, if in terms of truthfulness, we see in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. You know that all people have taqwa, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and be with those who are truthful.
Subhanallah.
You know, see, there is a tafsir with regards to this as well, but this also, this for example, when the scholars, they speak about truthfulness, this is one of the ayat that they mention, like Imam An-Nawawi Ali Rahmah, in his famous book Riyadu Saliheen, there he has mentioned, under the Babu Sidq, he has mentioned, this is the first ayah that he mentions. So, this ayah, now this is telling us, this is teaching us, when we look at the tafsir of this ayah is actually teaching us a very important lesson.
Gee.
Our company,
Subhanallah.
Our suhbat, our company of the people that we keep, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, and be with those who are truthful. Because when you're in a company of pious people, that rubs on to you. You know, you will start to fix up your life, you'll start to amend things, you will start to develop those habits within you.
An easy way to understand that could be that, you know, if you're sat in a gathering and there's all good people in there, but you know you're bad. Yeah, but when someone comes to that gathering and he looks at all these people, what are they going to say? Subhanallah, you know, such a pious people. But you're not pious. But because of you being in that group, they will think that you are pious. Vice versa. If you are in a group of people, you know, drug addicts, alcoholics, you know, all these guys, you know, bad boys as they say. If you're one of them, you know, all you're doing is just staying with them. You're not one of them. You don't drink, you don't flirt, you don't do anything else. But because just being with them, you're going to be labeled as a bad boy as well. So, you know, this is just a worldly example that وَكُونُ مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, stay with the pious people, because that piety is going to rub onto you as well. I can remember Khalid Bhai doing once a bayan. And he did a bayan about, you know, two friends. And, you know, one of the friends, you know, he started moving away and he found some new friends. You know, and, you know, when you grow up, very, very critical age, and this is very important, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, your children age between 12 and 16 is a very critical age. If you can make them go through this age without any faults, inshallah, azza wa jal, they will be protected. Most of the time that's what happens. But, you know, this friend, they used to be best friends. They grew up together, they went to school together, everything, they did it together. Now, when they were growing up, they went into high school. Now what happened? One of the friends, he started to hang around with friends who were smoking. Now, slowly he started to drift away. And at the end, what happened? Both of these friends died on the same day. Sadly, the other guy was, he'd gone too far. They went on a Madani Kafila. This friend went on a Madani Kafila. This friend went to out, you know, on what do you call it, nightclubbing on all that same night. And these guys were doing a Madani Dora. And these guys, what they were doing, they had music and they were driving their car fast. And what happened when they were crossing the road, he didn't see them. So he hit them. So he hit his friend and then he hit a tree. Both of them died instantly. Wow. But the difference was, in his janaza, hundreds of people came and people were crying because they've missed, you know, they've lost a very good person in the community. On this janaza, it was delayed. They had to do the post-mortem. He was over the drink and drive limit. And so many things, you know, went through his janaza. Not many people attended. So the thing is in where it starts off from. So if you have bad friends, think to yourself what your ending will be as well.
Allahu Akbar. And you know, it's a really important discussion that you kind of brought up here. Obviously, it's not exactly fully related to the truthfulness or lying, but it's a very important point to address. We find, you know, when we look at the way the shaitan attacks, The scholars, they've written in detail, you know, they've written books in detail with regards to this. For example, Imam Ibn Jawzi Ali Rahmatul Bis Iblis, that he's written totally about the attacks of the shaitan. Because we mentioned before as well that the shaitan is what? Our clear, open enemy. We need to know his strategy of attacking. And the shaitan takes us step by step. You know, the famous waqiyah, the famous incident we hear with regards to the Abid of Bani Israel. Two brothers left their sister with him. First, he refused to even keep that sister with him. Then he said, okay, she'll stay at another house and I'll leave the food outside my doorstep. She can come and collect it, go. Then the shaitan comes and says, look, you know, somebody might see her. You should go and drop it to her doorstep. And then he drops it there. Then the shaitan comes and says, you know, she's a human at the end of the day. She might get bored as well. There's nothing wrong with conversing with her. So then he started to converse. Then the shaitan says, you know, go in and converse with her. So, it'll, you know, it'll bring more peace to her heart. And so on and so forth. To the event, eventually when he went ahead, started speaking to her, Ma'adallah fornicated. And, you know, she had a child. And then now he had to conceal that. He killed the girl and the child. But then when the brothers came and the brothers, you know, he showed them a fake grave in the graveyard and said, look, your sister died when you were away. And they said, look, you're not to blame. That's a natural thing. And then eventually the shaitan comes into the dreams of the brothers and tells them about the whereabouts of his sister, their sister. So then they find, and eventually that abid, that worshipper is about to be hung. Now all of this planning from the shaitan was what? For this moment.
Allahu.
He says to that worshipper that, look, you recognize me. It was me who was giving you, who was advising you all along. It was me, because of me, you've ended up here. But I can still save you. Allahu. If you reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reject religion, reject, you know, stop believing in Allah, and I will save you. And then as soon as the person rejected that ma'adallah, the shaitan disappeared, he was hung. And that's the ultimate purpose of the shaitan, to make a person, take a person's iman away. But all of this, you know, if the first day the shaitan came and said, you know, ma'adallah, go and commit this act with the lady, the abid, the worshipper probably wouldn't have listened. He took him through a set of steps.
Yeah.
And psychologically, exactly, we see the theory of cognitive dissonance is when you have two conflicting beliefs. And you know, this relates a lot to drugs, for example. Our youngsters, how do they get involved in drugs? It's not that their parents brought them up that way, but rather the parents have actually brought them up where their beliefs, their in their mindset, the mindset that they have is drugs are bad. You need to refrain from them. But now when they go on to high school in particular, and they've ended up with people who are smoking or who are using drugs, just being amongst them people is mentally going to cause them to be uncomfortable. Why? Because their belief is something else. They should not be in this company. And this is what happens. Oh, when they've ended up with a bunch of friends who are involved in drugs, and he's maybe holding drugs in his hands, he's going to be mentally very uncomfortable because of that theory of cognitive dissonance. He has two different beliefs.
What's that word you said?
Cognitive dissonance, which basically...
Cognitive
dissonance, yeah. Which is basically, right now, in his mind, his belief is drugs are bad. But in his hand, he has some drugs. Two different things. And now, in order to, and you know, we don't like feeling uncomfortable. That discomfort, we dislike it. So what then happens is he's got to compromise in one way or the other. He's got to get rid of that discomfort. And how is he going to do it? He either leaves that gathering, you know, gets rid of the drugs, leaves that circle of friends. And so his original belief that was in his mind, he's okay with that. Or alternatively, he says, well, I'm only holding it. You know, I'm not doing anything bad.
Yeah.
And he's justifying to himself
That's like opening the door to the shaitan.
Exactly. And that's the first step. You know how I've said the shaitan takes us through steps.
Yeah.
That's his first step, because once he's justified once, psychologically now as well, he'd feel easy justifying again. Because once you've done something once, the second time is easier.
Oh, well.
So he'll say, okay, you know what, I'm only holding it. A few months later, a few weeks later, maybe, okay, you know what, these guys are all smoking. It's only once, you know, I'm a bit feeling down.
One makes no difference.
Yeah, one makes no difference. And a few months down the line, we find the guy's hooked. He's totally addicted. Where did it all start from? Him being in that company and then justifying to himself that it's not bad.
Yeah.
And this is exactly, you know, this is something for all of our viewers of Madani Channel, parents and the children alike, elderly and the youngsters alike, to realize that the shaitan takes us through a set of these steps. Same with, you know, Salah, for example, people are very punctual with their Jamaat. The person comes with Jamaat, he's in the first saf. If the shaitan tells him, stop praying, as a first step, the person is going to show a lot of resistance. So what happens? The shaitan will start to take him right from the top. Ghair muakkada, you know, they're like voluntary. There's no need to pray them regularly. Give them a miss. You won't get any sin, you know, just for once. So he says, okay, you know what? It's true. So he kind of leaves that aside. Then after a while, he might get the whisper, look, just one day out of the blue, you know, you're missing your muakkada. Just leave it for one day. So he does that. Then eventually, for Jamaat, rather than being in the first saf, he's ended up in the second saf, and he's starting to miss a few rakats now. And maybe he's starting to miss the Jamaat totally. He gets to a point where he's starting to pray four instead of five. And still, he's justifying to himself, you know what, at least I'm praying four. That guy just only prays two. And what he does not realize is that Shaitan's taken him from the point where he was five times a day in the first saf, praying with Jamaat, to a point where he's still feeling comfortable with only praying four. And that's going to take him eventually to totally missing out namaz. So it's a very cunning attack of the shaitan which we need to be aware of. This step by step procedure.
Some very beautiful Madani pearls you said, Marbai. We need to understand that today, you know, we think sometimes, you know, my iman's strong enough, you know, it's alright. I can withstand the shaitan. You know, if we could withstand the shaitan, Allah Ta'ala would not mention in the Quran. You know, in the Quran it says, you know, seek refuge from the shaitan. And this is what, you know, we need to do. We need to seek refuge. Never ever think to yourself that I am strong enough. Always think to yourself that I am weak. You know, for example, it's like the hare and the tortoise. Yeah? Where the hare thought that it's alright. If I sleep for a while, I can still sprint and I'll win the tortoise. So what happened? The tortoise went slowly, 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 and the hare went to sleep. And he lost the race. So in the same way, don't put your, as Amir al-Sunnah says, don't put your weapons down. Always be on guard from the shaitan. Why? Because as soon as you start to put your guards down, as soon as you start to compromise with your nafs that I'm strong enough, don't worry. These friends, they won't be able to harm me. And I've talked to a few of them. You know, Madani Kafila. And this guy, you know, start talking to us. And, you know, he says that, you know, my friends, they're bad, yeah, but alhamdulillah, I'm strong enough. And he said, look, you know, don't be, you know, that much of a
overconfident
that, you know, you are strong enough. And alhamdulillah, as they say, maybe them words that, you know, the Muballigh said to him, it clicked on his mind. And he says, no, that's true. Because, you know, again, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We need to remind people, and reminding is better for them. Alhamdulillah, he left them. But there might be so many people, even now there might be someone watching, he's got bad friends, or they only smoke cigarettes, we don't do anything else, or it's only weed, it's not class A drugs, is it? Weed is allowed, weed is nothing. You know, think to yourself, today is weed, tomorrow is going to be drugs, class A drugs, the day after is going to be something, and then fourth day, you're not even going to be in this world, because end of the day, we've seen what happens. Just want to mention one thing, that Nigrani Shura once did a bayan, and that they were, you know, they were really going out to the drug dealers, you know, they were living under, you know, some, what do you call it, bridges and all these places. And one of them, I can still remember, he says that he was a very wealthy person. He was married, he's got family, he's got children, but he goes that once he started just one little sip, that's where he started from. And you know what happens? Your friends, they will push you, you know, pull it through, don't worry, look, we're doing it. So what happened? From one puff, it came to one cigarette. From one cigarette, it came to a box of cigarettes. Karne, 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 at the end, what happened? The guy became an addict. He lost everything, so much to an extent, that he even lost his wife and his family to gamblers.
No.
Because he was gambling and he was taking drugs now. You don't want to be ending up in that situation. And as they say, whatever goes round, comes round. You know, if you do bad to yourself or to others, it's going to come round to you.
As you're mentioning this, there will be somebody saying, you know, that's too far. I'd never go.
Yeah, I won't go that far.
Obviously, like, first thing, you know, if we were that strong, we look, for example, the Abid, the worshipper who totally devoted himself
Allah
to worship. So many other incidents where pious people were in one way or the other misled by the shaitan. But let's say for argument's sake, you know, like, for example, you do remain protected from that. You don't go that far. But still, whatever small amount you're doing, that still causes harm. And don't ignore it by, oh, it's only a small amount, because that small every single day is adding up. And at the end, it's going to come up as a big thing when you're in your 40s, 50s. It's going to come up as a very big thing, which is going to cause you a lot of pain. But, you know, same thing, for example, with lying. know, the parents might be thinking, oh, it's only a, you know, one lie. I just need him to go to bed.
Ji.
But that one lie, that's the start. You know, once you've started, then as I said, you'd feel okay justifying to yourself the next day as well. Oh, I only want him to have breakfast.
Yeah.
Another lie. I only want him to go to madrasa. I only want him to go to school. Another lie. And these lies will keep building up.
You know, there is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jami' Tirmizi. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says that when a person speaks a lie, you know, foul smell emanates from his mouth, that the shaitan runs away 1 mile from him.
Allahu Akbar.
But we can't smell it though. You know, I lie. You know, if someone says that I lie many times, I can't smell it. You're used to that now.
Allahu Akbar. You know, also, in terms of lying itself, you know, the whole, be it a small lie or a big lie, in our eyes, lying, you know, if we look at the teaching of the scholars, the books of the scholars, it's a major sin. So, major sin does not, you know, there's no difference whether you think it's a small lie or a big lie. A major sin will remain a major at the end of the day.
As a Muslim, you know, the thing is we need to understand that lying is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we all think to ourselves, I'm going to judge myself because I've got no rights to judge other people. I need to judge myself. You know, do I have the habit of fraud? You know, when I do transactions, when I speak to people, do I lie to them? You know, just to get out of a very difficult situation, will I lie? And if that is the case, then I must think to myself that I call myself a Muslim and yet I've got these things in myself. This is what my character is. People may be thinking that he's a very pious person. But your character is that you are a liar. And if that is the case and you keep on lying, like you mentioned earlier on, a person is written as a kadhab in the court of Allah. If that is the case, then you've had it then.
And I think, you know, the concept also behind protecting ourselves from lying, we have to understand is the importance of protecting the tongue. So lying, likewise, telling the truth is also, you know, done through the tongue. So when we speak the truth, and that is a good thing. On the other hand, lying through the tongue, then that would be a negative thing. So the tongue can be a means of forgiveness, or it can be a means of punishment for a person. You know, still to say with regards to this topic, there is another common sort of a thing that is done. You know, for example, when you go to somebody's house and they say, oh, do you want some food? Now, you haven't had food all day.
Yeah.
And you like each and every body part of yours, each and every inch on your body is screaming food, food, food. But then when they say, you say, no, I'm not hungry. There's a hadith of the beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned in Sunan Ibn Majah. Sayyidatuna Asma bint Yazid radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she says that food was presented to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam presented it to us, and we said we do not feel the desire, we don't feel like eating. And the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, do not gather both hunger and lie. Do not gather both hunger and lie. And in the explanation of this, the scholars have said, you know, when somebody is hungry and then he still lies, he's losing out both.
Yeah.
In terms of the world, because he's losing out on the food, and in terms of the hereafter, because he's lying.
So what do you think the best words can be used?
So now, at that time, you know, for example, as I said, you know, it happens a lot when somebody invites us over and we say, no, I'm full. Even though we're hungry, we are desiring, like, you know what, I don't feel like it. Even though we feel like it. But if you see, look, you know what, there is only a limited amount of food, you know, the poor guy is just going to get enough himself. Firstly, you know, the person making an offer, he himself has to think, it has to be from the heart,
from
not
the
just
heart,
a formality.
Yeah.
You know, this is another sort of a thing in our culture where it's like, just for the sake of it, like you go to the house, or you want to come in for some tea, and you, deep down you're hoping, I hope he does not say yes, because I don't feel like making tea.
Yeah.
So that's not, you know, the offer firstly has to be from the heart.
Mm.
If you're eating and you know, I'm hungry and I have this food, and I really, really want to eat. Now, nobody's forced you to offer it to him. Obviously, if you can wholeheartedly offer it to him in that state as well, that's a big means of reward for you. So firstly, the offer has to be from the heart. Secondly, when you are offered, but you see, look, there's only a limited amount of food, you can say, Barakallah, may Allah grant you blessings. And you haven't said anything wrong there. You just, you know, you've given him a dua. You haven't told him, I don't feel like eating, or I'm already full, or I just had like 2 pieces before coming here or something.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the safest sort of wording that Amir al-Sunnah has also given us.
Sometimes people don't say yes because they feel a bit shy. You know, you might be going into your relative's house. You know, I was traveling with one of my friends in it, and we were both really hungry. And I'm one of them type of people that I'm not shy. If I'm hungry, I'll just say, look, yeah, I'm hungry. And mashallah, you've been with me for a few times now. And you know, he was one of them, yeah, and he goes, no, jazakallah, we're not going to eat. You know, it's all right. We don't want to eat. You know, we're full. And I knew that, you know, he's not full. And I said that, look, you're not full, you're hungry. And he goes, no, yeah, I don't want to eat. So as soon as we came from there, and he goes, yeah, take me somewhere, I'm dying, man. So why did you lie to him there? You said that, you know, you don't want to eat anything. So you just committed a sin for nothing. You know, you didn't get no food, you didn't let me eat. And then at the end what happens is, you know, you've lost out on both of the things. So, I just want to mention another thing that, you know, because we're on this topic of lying and on these kind of things. Even to an extent of don't lie, even if it's a joke.
No.
People swear, you know, start lying in a, they might, especially when it comes to telling a dream. That is very bad. But people make jokes and they're lying.
No. You know, that's a very common practice. It's like nobody frowns, you know, nobody looks down on that.
Gee.
Nobody sort of sees that as a bad thing because it's such a common thing in our society. But even, you know, we find in the hadith that none of you can be a complete believer until he abandons lying, even when he's joking.
Subhanallah.
However, there is another serious side of lying is sometimes we lie and we cause discord and disagreements and arguments between people.
Yeah.
I know there are some people that just have it in their nature. They just enjoy that.
They love that,
you know, we'll call them stir-ups. They love stirring things up. They love like seeing people kick off and have a fight. Look at the importance of life in general in Islam and the importance of peace in Islam, that lying, you know, normally a major sin, so strongly prohibited in the Quran, in the Hadith. But there are certain cases where the scholars have mentioned where a person is allowed to lie, certain cases where it becomes necessary for him to lie. So for example, if somebody, you know, for example, an innocent person, he's run that way. And there's another maybe cruel person chasing and he's going to kill him. So you've seen that guy just run this way. And you know this person wants to kill him and that guy's innocent. Now to save his life when he asks, which way did you go? You can say, oh, I saw him go that way. So the point there is...
I won't be asking you, I'm telling you.
To save his life, you've lied. But that is when
it's
you're...
a good thing.
You know, that is, so likewise, another thing where it is, where you can lie is permissible, is when, for example, there is a disagreement between two Islamic brothers, two Muslim brothers. For example, one is Zayd, one is Khalid. You go to Zayd and you say, no, Khalid was saying, mashallah, you have, your turban, your Imamah Sharif looks beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, you go to Khalid, you know, Zayd was saying, you have really nice glasses, something like that. And, you know, so Zayd now thinks, oh, that's very nice of Khalid. Khalid likewise thinks, that's very nice of Zayd. And later on,
just trying to bring them together.
They later on sort of put their disagreements aside and they come to an agreement, they sort everything out and they're back as friends.
Yeah.
Now that you did through a lie. But
you get rewarded for it as well.
And you get rewarded for it because likewise, for example, if a husband and a wife have had a disagreement, maybe the wife's brother, you know, he could step in and he could speak to the husband and her, and likewise to the wife, and if he can
very
get them together. But this is what I'm saying. Now this is the ruling. You know, lying, impermissible, but permissible in a case when you want to bring together two brothers. However, today we are lying to
break
separate,
yeah,
you know, break people.
And you know, you mentioned about, you know, the husband and wife. I've seen it on hand that, you know, the family, astaghfirullah, you know, they just don't want them to come back to them. You go and step outside the house and you go back to your husband. That's it. You know, you're dead for us. Oh, bechari kar, you know, sat at home. You know, what do I do on one side? I want to go back home. I want to go back to my family, my husband, my children. On the other side, my parents won't let me. Now, you know, just imagine the parents. How can you even think of that? You know, they make it as a, okay, ana ka masla. You go back, you know, you're going to cut our nose, you're not going to go back. And they make sure that they don't go back. And then a few they think of it as a victory. Ah, we won. Yeah, we've divorced. Astaghfirullah, you know. And people, you know, they're happy about it, they're enjoying, they tell other people as well. Astaghfirullah, don't even remember that you're going to die one day as well. Are you going to show your face to the court of Allah?
You know, this whole egotistical and very selfish attitude is very common within our society. Alhamdulillah, not saying, you know, even to say very common, obviously, yeah, could be right to a certain extent, but there are people, alhamdulillah, for example, within the Madani environment of Da'at Islami, if somebody is truly attached to the Madani environment of Da'at Islami, he watches the Madani Muzakarahs of Amir al-Sunnat, he reads the booklets that are provided by Amir al-Sunnat and Makkah al-Madina, and he absorbs those teachings and acts upon them. You go to his house and you'll see, you know, mashallah, the house is just so peaceful. Everybody's sort of playing their part in helping. Everybody's, you know, like, even if there is a disagreement, it will be sorted very quickly because, you know, the teachings of Islam will teach us, you know, for example, if somebody's coming at you, if a family member's coming at you, they're angry, they're totally lashing out. Now, rather than you retaliating, you know, at that point, your best answer is to remain silent.
Gee.
Because they're in that state of mind at the moment, they're heated. No matter what you say to them, you could give them a rose flower and it would seem like a very thorny one at that point. So that's their mental state at that time. So at that time, you remain quiet. Later on, when they've cooled down, you sit down with them and you'll probably come to a better agreement. And these are the things that, alhamdulillah, you know, being in the Madani environment of Da'at Islami, this is what we would learn.
You know, every single Madani muzakara, Amir al-Sunnat, you know, alhamdulillah, the Madani pearl, he comes out. Seriously, you know, we've come from a background, we've come from, you know, basically, you know, I said Jahiliyyat, we've come from darkness. We never knew this, we never knew that. Our parents used to tell us, but it never used to register in our minds. But subhanAllah, you have this Waliya Kamil, that he said it to you once, don't do that, and people give up.
Allah, but, and on the other hand, for example, you know, just as a normal, you're in a situation where you need to be telling the truth.
Allah.
So, for example, sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where we need to be telling the truth. But at that time, I think, you know what? This is going to damage my status so much. This is going to damage me as a person, my personality, my status within the society, and so on and so forth. But if you are truthful, you know, being truthful will only, inshallah, elevate you.
Bishak.
Even if it temporarily brings you down, when your truthful nature comes about.
No religion, no one tolerates lying. People don't like liars. You know what, there are a few people that I know of as well. Maybe Allah Ta'ala give them hidayat, you know, may Allah give me hidayat that I can change myself to a better person as well. You know, when they speak, yeah, people say, Oh, Marcia ko chakka. You know, he's gonna mention something to you, he's gonna lie. And you know, when they tell you something, people say, Yara, forget him, why chuta, he's a liar, don't even, you know, just imagine you're at that place now where people don't take you serious anymore. People think you're always lying to them.
You know, the stories we read, the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah.
So,
at the end of the day, you're just gonna be crying. MashaAllah, Azawajal, we've got a couple of minutes, last words that you wanna mention.
I think, kind of sticking to what I've just said, you know, in terms of truthfulness, there's an incident mentioned with regards to Hajjaj bin Yusuf, that there are a few prisoners and one of them is about to be hung. One particular prisoner, he stands up and he says, you know, O leader, because Hajjaj bin Yusuf being the leader at the time, I have a right over you. And he says, what's that right? He says, people were speaking bad about you and I was the only person who stood up and defended you. So he says, who can testify to this? So the prisoner pleads, can anybody testify to this incident that I stood in the favor of Hajjaj bin Yusuf? I defended him when others were speaking negatively of him. So then one of the people testified, so he set him free. Then Hajjaj bin Yusuf asks another prisoner that why did you not speak in my favor? You know, why didn't you defend me? When this guy defended me, what stopped you? And that person said truthfully, you know what, because of an old grudge I had in my heart, I did not defend you at that time. So Hajjaj bin Yusuf says, you know what, set him free as well. Because he has spoken the truth with so much courage. He hasn't tried to lie to me that, you know what, on that day I was not in the right state of mind or whatever. He hasn't tried to twist things. He told me truth. And this, you know, we find this so many a times. We read books or even in our, you know, in our lives, when a person, when he is truthful, he obtains, you know, the results sometimes are unexpected, but they're pleasant in that sense. It leads to a lot of good results. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
MashaAllah. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel, it's the end of our silsila, but alhamdulillah, hope you not only enjoyed the silsila, but you've learned something. SubhanAllah. You know, I've certainly learned something, and inshallah azawajal, I'll make the intention that inshallah azawajal, I'll try to keep away from lying and always try to speak the truth. And one of the best ways to stick to this intention is Dawat Islami. Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami is in front of you. Amir al-Sunnat is in front of you. Such a Waliya Kamil that has changed the life of millions. Inshallah, Amir al-Sunnat can change my life, it can change your life as well. So please take care of yourself. Keep watching Madani channel. We'll see you at the same time, same place tomorrow. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah increase the honor and grace, the rank of a master.